Can you describe an instance when you did not communicate well with someone because you did not have a connection first? Why do you think it was difficult? Have you ever considered your actions speak louder than your words? More than 90% of the impression we often convey has nothing to do with what we actually say. Communication is not always about your words. Thank you for joining us as we discuss how connecting goes beyond words right here today on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Podcast, we're glad to be with you today, and we have, I think, two episodes that are coming, both today and next week's episodes, with some great insights about communication as a leader. And we've talked about communication in the past. It's a vital element in leadership, and we want to help you become more authentic, more energetic, more engaged, and strategic in your communication. Charles, I'm glad we can be doing this today. How's your day going?
Man, it's going great. The pork butts are on the fire, so barbecue's coming this evening, and so low and slow, and we're good to go. I'm fired up, man. It's going to be a great day.
Nice, nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But beyond that, more importantly, glad for this episode. Glad to be part of the podcast today as we're talking about communication. And more than just communicating, but connecting, and how in order to connect, it's more than just verbal. It goes beyond our words. So, you know, Bruce, as we're thinking about moving from communication into connecting, could you help us maybe with a general understanding of connecting? What are some practical elements that can impact our ability to communicate and then ultimately to connect?
Sure. In a connection with people, communication is an essential part of that. The way that you speak to people, the way that you address them, especially as a leader, because as a leader, you realize that your strength is in the people that are working with you. And so communication can range from casting vision to keeping people accountable to policy, as well as, you know, moving forward, those emotional intelligence skills of encouragement. And when I think of effective communication, I think there are three essentials as you approach communication with people. When we communicate, we have to include thought. That would be the first thing. Just that internal process for how we not only think about information, but also how we think about people and their roles. So it has to include something that we understand, not just in terms of just a wide scope of things, but what's germane to the issue that we're talking about. And so, you know, that idea that this is something that we're proficient in, we have full rounded understanding of what's happening, both in terms of thought process, that's really important. And then when people have an understanding that this is something that you've internalized, that you have an understanding of, you have a proficiency of in terms of the way that you're thinking about it, I think it engenders a sense of confidence on their part. And also they start thinking about it on a different level. And then emotion is obviously the things that we feel. So emotion conveys passion. It conveys thoughtfulness, not thoughtfulness in terms of what we just talked about, your thinking, but thoughtfulness of the process, thoughtfulness of the individual. Emotion helps people connect to you. They understand what's going on the inside of you, the way you're thinking about what you're talking about. So emotion, and then action. I think communication always has to impart a way of engaging. How do we move forward in this? What's my role in this? Communication addresses that. Also would say that, you know, it's not just what's happening inside of you as a communicator, but it's also that ability to seeing that in someone else. And so you want to understand what they're thinking, what they're feeling, but also help them to connect, you know, what are the actions that they need to take, and what's what's important to them. But if I was going to think about the checklist and things that you want to be thinking of as you are communicating with people, whether it's in a public setting, maybe even from the pulpit, I think these are, you know, communication dynamics affect the pulpit as much as they affect any other form of communication in the marketplace. They're not the same thing, but they share some similar dynamics. So as a leader, you're communicating in public, but you also could be communicating in the meeting room, or maybe in the one-to-one coaching session or a mentoring kind of a setting. So, you know, I would say that checklist that you want to be mindful of as a communicator is your integrity. Have you done your best? And you're not only asking yourself that, but you're asking your people that. Are we doing our best in this situation? Have we brought ourselves fully present into those tasks, those projects, those strategic elements that impact our mission, our vision as an organization? Secondly, I think you want to consider expectations. Have you pleased the people that you're responsible to? Have you exceeded and met the expectations of your team, of your clients? Those are things that you communicate. Those are things that come out in the way that you communicate. And your team, your supervisor, your congregation, they want to have a sense of satisfied expectations. Thirdly, relevance. Do they have the sense that you're relating to them, that you're trying to make your point, you're trying to make your message, you're trying to make your order of leadership? Are you making it relevant to them? Is this something that they feel both a kinship, a partnership with you in? And relevance is huge. Then value. Are you adding value to people in what you're saying, in what you're putting before them? And then also application. Does communication include a game plan? When people see you as a leader, they assume that you should have a sense of not only where are we going, but how do we get there? And so I think people need to know that you're putting forth something that communicates a game plan, a strategic plan, something that's going to get us from where we are to where we need to be. And then finally, I think you want your communication impact to make a difference. Is something different? Am I changing people's mindsets? Am I changing people's motivation? Am I doing something to encourage them? What is the difference that I'm bringing to this setting where I'm communicating as a leader? So, Charles, you asked for a checklist, and those are definitely six things that I'm thinking of. As we've looked at communication and connection in a broad sense, and that's been quite broad, how do we narrow the scope of that discussion, Charles, about connection that goes beyond words?
I think we can break it down into four components of connection. So let's start with just the first one would be what do people see? So let's talk about connecting visually. Again, we're talking about verbal connection is obviously a part of communicating, but beyond our words, people connect visually. They connect with what they see. So let's take a kind of an impromptu pop quiz. All right, have you ever judged someone negatively? I'm not just talking about to you, Bruce, but everybody that's listening on the episode today. Have you ever judged someone negatively based on their appearance? Now, you know that obviously the answer is yes. Every single one of us have done that. We've looked at someone and we've judged people negatively based on their appearance. And so that begins to begins to make my mind think about, okay, if I've judged someone negatively based on their appearance, based on what I saw with my two eyes, then obviously people have judged me negatively based on my appearance. And so what are some things that I can do to be proactive against that? Now, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to judge. And anyway, you can't always, you know, control how people react and perceive you. But there are some things that we can do to mitigate against those negative judgments. So I think the one thing we can do in this that's going to help us to connect visually, first thing, eliminate personal distractions. Do you have any, do I have any distracting characteristics? Just be honest, take assessment. A great way to identify those is listen to an audio recording, or even better, watch a video recording of your communication. Again, whether that's with a large audience or in a small group, in a one-on-one setting, I mean, you probably should get their permission if you're going to record that. But even just one-on-one, you could ask a question. Hey, ask family, ask friends. Are there any distracting characteristics when we're communicating, when we're trying to make a connection? Are there things that I do that are distracted, that cause you to not connect with me? So again, a lot of this in growing in our leadership is just being honest and welcoming feedback. So, you know, eliminate personal distractions. Get feedback, whatever that source is, and just begin to find out, do you have any distracting characteristics as you appear in your appearance? Number two, expand your range of expression. Don't be just, you know, the same facial expressions all the time. Change it up. Variety is the spice of life, I think is how I've heard it expressed before. So change up your facial expressions, your range of expressions, not just your face, but in how you move your body and your arms and hand gestures and all these things. Expand your range of expression. If you're wherever you're comfortable in, and we tend to find a place of comfort, and we settle there because it feels good, because it feels comfortable. But I think we want to encourage and challenge everyone, including ourselves, to identify, okay, am I in a comfortable place? Now, how can I begin to expand my range of expression? If you were to ask your audience, again, whether it's one-on-one in a small group or a large group, if you were to ask the people you're trying to connect with, if you were to ask them the question, am I an expressive communicator or more reflective? What would their answer be? And I'm not saying that one is necessarily better than the other, but if they say, well, you're not as expressive, you're more reflective, then that's fine. It gives you a good snapshot of your present reality, and it helps you to understand, okay, I need to work on my expressions. So expand your range of expression. Number three, move with a sense of purpose. What in the world does that mean? Well, you know, when you're walking to the stage, you're introduced to come be the speaker for that occasion. You know, move with purpose and confidence. Stand tall, shoulders back, head up, and walk briskly to the microphone or to the designated place. Stage where you'll be speaking from. Move with purpose there. Move with confidence. It because what that does is it signifies to the crowd, to the audience, that, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. I'm excited to be here. I'm ready to deliver the message. So move with a sense of purpose. In a small group environment, move and mingle throughout the crowd. It could be a networking event, or it could be a different environment. But when you're with in that smaller group, move with purpose through the room as you're making introductions, as you're making new acquaintances. Just move with purpose. A fourth component here of that helps us to connect visually is to maintain an open posture. I think this is a really key component in connecting visually, maintaining an open posture. Here's a great question to think in this regard. What are some barriers that you could remove to connect with others? I've mentioned a few times, I think, in the podcast about my disdain for trying to have a conversation with someone and they're answering every phone call or every text or everything on their phone. And so if you're actively engaged in a conversation, it could be that your cell phone or your mobile device is a distraction. It's a barrier. It's putting a barrier between you and the person you're trying to connect with. Just your body language. A common thing, you know, if you're trying to talk and you could kind of cross your arms and put them there, that could create a barrier. I'm not trying to be nitpicky in this, but it's important we can maintain an open posture and really be intentional about identifying barriers that we can remove in order to connect with others. You know, if you're in a small group environment, if you're leading a small group, or if you're leading maybe a small training meeting, what are some barriers in that environment that could hinder your ability to connect? You want to think through some of those things before you get in the small group environment. Thinking about a large group speaking environment, what are some barriers there? I know. For me, I pastored, was a co-pastor at a church, and they, the time that I served there, our church met in a movie theater. And so I got really comfortable and really enjoyed the preaching times because we were, you know, there was very little separation between where I would stand to preach and where the congregation was seated at it. So I really enjoyed that close interaction. Well, the next church that I went to pastor had, just a tall stage built up off the floor, very large stage, very wide and very tall. But then there was a great distance from where the speaker would typically stand on the stage to where the seats were. So, man, my first month or so, I really had a hard time adjusting with that. I just did not like the separation. I felt disconnected. And so ultimately, I told him, I said, I'm moving down to the floor. I'm getting closer to where you are. And so think about what are some barriers. What are some barriers that you could remove in order to increase your connection? These are all things visual cues that help us to connect. Then I think a last thing is paying attention to your surroundings. So what things do you need to be aware of in your surroundings to become, to connect better visually? So that could be things about distance. It could be screens, any number of things, but what are the items in your surroundings? How is the seating laid out? Are there difficult areas? Is there a bad place to sit where they have a bad view or an obstructed view? Think about those things because in a large group setting, we work hard to craft these sermons, and we want people to be engaged. We want to connect. If I'm in a one-on-one conversation or a meeting, is the environment noisy or is it a quiet place where we can actually talk in conversational tones and conduct our business or whatever it is that we need to do? So paying attention to our surroundings, these kind of things will help us to, connect visually. Now, Bruce, we're talking about four components or four aspects of connection. So that was one, what people see, helping us to connect visually. What's the second one that you think could help us be better connectors?
Well, Charles, just to tag on to what you just said, I'll share the second one in just a minute. But when you, I think it is huge to prepare yourself, by understanding where you're presenting, what's available to you resource wise, and maybe what are some of the things that could be hindrances. And I just have a recent contrasting experiences in mind. I went to a couple of seminars recently, and the first seminar was held in a church that was doing some remodeling. And so they had the venue for the seminar in an area of the building that was really far removed from things like bathroom facilities and the audio. This was kind of a makeshift room. They'd done a good job. They had all the technology, but it just wasn't coming together. And so the speaker was distracted, and I felt so bad for them because I don't think they had any idea of knowing what they were walking into. And so during the presentation, they're constantly having technical difficulties with slides and graphics, and so they kept referring to it, and it was just a huge distraction. You're always going to walk into those situations where you can't control the environment, but I think having a sense of it, taking the time to see it before you begin your speaking, your sharing, whatever it might be, I think it's important, because if you're unsettled, then I think that can be a bigger distraction than the environment itself. You know, another way that we connect is, Charles, you mentioned in what people see. Well, we also have to consider what people understand. Mm-hmm. Just in the sense that we have to connect intellectually with people. And I'm reminded of Charlie Parker, who was actually a pioneering jazz musician. If you know anything about jazz, jazz is the art form of all art forms. Musically it is, because there's not a lot of notation in jazz music. It's all feeling and soul. A lot of times it doesn't resolve itself. So Charlie Parker was one of those pioneering jazz musicians. And one thing he shared, he said, music is your own experience, your thoughts, your own wisdom. He says, if you don't live it, it won't come out from your horn. And he was a brilliant saxophonist, just not only an aficionado of jazz music, but someone that just had tremendous skill. And so when he played, he understood that what he was playing was an expression of everything that he understands about music. And so when we communicate with people, we have to connect in a way where people get the sense that we know what we're talking about. We know the subject material. So you have to bring your experience, your knowledge into those settings, that opportunity to connect. When you have that experience and knowledge, then I think it brings a comfort level when you're presenting it. One of the great ways to know that you know what you're talking about is if you can teach it. You know, there's a difference between teaching and bringing someone's understanding up to another level. There's a difference between that and just talking. And so you're never going to fool anybody. You're always going to have to bring your understanding of the subject. Again, you have to bring experience, knowledge, and you have to bring that together. You might want to think about a time just to be maybe self-reflective, is when have you experienced a gap in having experience and just possessing knowledge? I mean, I think I could probably name a dozen subjects that I have some knowledge about, but I don't have any practical experience in it. And, you know, sometimes it feels like in these podcasts, Charles, when I hear you talk about things, I'm thinking, man, you know, I know some of that, but I don't think I have the same experience level that Charles has in that. As I hear you talking about it, I have a sense of confidence, you know, because you know, you not only know the subject material, but you have the track record, you have the experience in that. And I think that's important for any communicator. Know your limitations, and don't claim to know things if you don't have the experience. And always be honest and transparent, because you can never win the audience's trust again once you lose it. That leads to maybe another point. You need to know yourself. You need to know that you have your own limitations, but you need to be confident in your expertise. Like, there are things that if you think of yourself and your experience level, you're probably going to feel more confidence in talking about those areas, not just using a script, but actually talking off the cuff about those things. And people can pick up on that when you're sharing. Then they know when it's authentic, and they know when you're connecting with them intellectually. So if you want to maybe measure yourself there, think about what you know. Think about your comfort level. Try to think about those the times where you've had to address issues and situations, and what gave you more confidence? Probably the sense that you knew not only the subject matter, but you knew how you interacted with it. You knew how you applied it. So when you find yourself, the old adage is you find your audience. Knowing yourself is knowing your own voice. It's important that you don't get up and play a role. You want to be authentic. When you speak in your voice, you're always going to speak more powerfully than when you try to adopt someone else's voice. Yeah. I mean, I happen to think, as far as a communicator and a charismatic personality, Barack Obama is a fantastic speaker, but I'm never going to be the one to get up and try to speak like a Barack Obama or a T.D. Jakes or whoever, because I'm not them. I'm me, and I have to find my own voice. So again, don't try to imitate others. Just be yourself, but be the best version of yourself as a communicator. Yeah. Charles, what would you say is another factor?
Well, I think a third factor we could consider is what people feel, or in other words, connecting emotionally. There is an emotional connection, or there should be. If we're going to connect in a deep and powerful way, there should be an emotional connection. So when you're communicating, how do people feel, or what are people feeling? Again, if it's one-on-one conversation, what is the person on the other end of the conversation? What are they feeling when you're talking with them? I can tell you, I've had some great conversations with people, and I've felt like, wow, this person, every time we end the conversation, I feel so much better about myself. I feel affirmed. I feel more confident. I just feel better. I mean, think about those people in your life that when you talk with them, you just feel lifted. The converse is there are also people who are only in it for themselves. They're not concerned about the connection with you in the conversation. They're just trying to get their point of view across. They're just trying to make their point, or they're just trying to get their information out, and with total disregard for connecting with the other person. It's just a matter of kind of checking the box and getting out what's on my mind. So you want to think about, what are people feeling as I'm trying to connect with them? Because there's an emotional connection. Here, I think this is a great statement. People may hear your words, but they feel your attitude. And, you know, people may hear our words, but they may feel they feel our attitude. Listen, it's really hard to fool people. People are a lot smarter and a lot more perceptive than we tend to give them credit for. You know, when you walk onto into the large group environment to deliver a sermon or some kind of talk or presentation, people can sense, they can begin to tell pretty quickly if we want to be there or not. And that really, really influences how well or how intensely people connect emotionally with us. Because we can give up, we can stand and deliver a 10 out of 10 message. Technically, it's perfect. It's all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and all the all the mechanics and the things that make up a great speech or a great sermon are there. But what's our attitude? What is our attitude in the moment and in the environment of delivering the message? Because again, people may hear our words, but what they feel is our attitude. And people will not be transformed, and people will not make a connection with us until they know that we care for them, until they know that we have a great attitude toward them. And so check your heart, check your attitude before you walk into any kind of communication environment, and make sure that your attitude is on par with where you're going and with what you're saying and with whom you're meeting. And so I want just maybe as a quick exercise, you know, you could take 10, 15 seconds and think about your last communication environment. Again, whether it was a public setting or a small group or maybe even a one-on-one conversation, what would that individual say if they were asked to describe your attitude in that moment of not just trying to communicate but wanting to connect? So that can be critical in boosting our connecting ability as people, really thinking about what people feel, how they connect emotionally. Well, Bruce, we've got one more. Take us home, man.
Yeah, Charles, you mentioned, you know, what do people see? What do people feel? But also, what do people hear? And, mm-hmm. you know, because communication is a verbal skill, it is a verbal, when you're using words, well, I would say, you know, make sure that people can hear you clearly. Make sure that you, what you're saying, if you want it to have an impact, then it has to be coherent. It has to be clear. That's one of my favorite approaches to preaching, is if you say it's profound, if you say it's deep, that doesn't mm-hmm. register with me. But if you tell me that it was clear, then I feel like I've done probably a satisfactory job at presenting that. So when you think about what people hear, then you think about, okay, what am I saying and how am I saying it in a way that makes an impact? And I would encourage, if you're speaking in a broad audience, or even people closer to you, like in a team setting, a staff setting, that it's important that you consider the context and how you say what you're saying. Because when people hear you, they need to have a sense that not only do you know what you're talking about, but you can talk about it in a coherent way. One of the things I think it's important is to understand your vocabulary. If in your conversation you're using words that are repetitive, like amazing, please, can we put amazing to bed for a few decades? It's been overdone. It's been overused. Everything is amazing. And if everything is amazing, nothing is amazing. So quit saying the word amazing every time. Get a thesaurus out and go find some synonyms for amazing, stunning, spectacular, fantastic. Those will do the job. So I just realized I got up on a soapbox. But it's important, I think, that people consider, they have a sense of confidence when you have a sense of the language. So use vocabulary, use good grammar. Don't sidetrack a person listening to you because they just realized you spent the last 5 minutes talking in sentence fragment. Your verbs and your nouns didn't didn't agree. So use good grammar, and by all means, you know, everything in your voice communicates message, your tone, your style. We could talk about verbal mechanics and language arts, but it's also important that your presentation is one that can be received well. Your style, your tone, your voice, your cadence, things like that are crucial. Usually when they're listening to you and you're connecting with them verbally, then they understand you have a comfort level with what you're talking about, and they pick that up immediately. Yeah. Charles, you mentioned, you know, how people feel. And I think that's really close to with what people hear, because mm-hmm. usually what people feel from your message, they're going to tell you, that's what I heard. I heard anger. I heard frustration. Yeah. I heard a lack of confidence. When you consider your style, when you consider your tone, you want to moderate to fit your audience, mm-hmm. that you can only present what you bring there. It's more than your message. It really is your personhood and your being. Charles, when we think about putting into practice some of these ideas, how can we begin to do that?
Well, before I do that, I've just got to stop and say, Bruce, that whole section you just did, that was amazing. It was truly amazing. And in fact, it's inspired me this Sunday. We're going to sing that great hymn of the church. We're going to call it Stunning Grace. We're not singing Amazing Grace anymore. So I hope you join me in that.
Charles, I got to tell you, I got to tell you, listen, grace is amazing.
Yeah. No, that is so true. Now I'm guilty as anybody of kind of getting those words and just sticking on, overusing a word. So it was not amazing advice. It was phenomenal advice and wisdom. Thank you for that. All right. So just having a little fun. So we've got to put this into practice. We want to apply the things you're talking about. And so again, we want to be able to connect with people at all levels. And so we can kind of climb this ladder of communication. I tend to think of it as a ladder, whether we're one-on-one or a small group or a large group, and in our communication, in our leadership, you know, we're scaling this ladder. We're up and down the ladder. And so we've got to be able to connect. We just don't want to communicate. We have to connect with people at all levels. And so the connecting principle we're talking about today is connecting goes beyond words. And the key concept that hopefully is that we're kind of learning and skills we're acquiring today is that the more we go beyond words, the greater the chance we will connect with people. So as we think about going beyond words, as we think about these levels, let's talk about this ladder just for a moment. So connecting one-on-one, how can we put into practice and apply this in one-on-one situations? We can connect visually with the other person by giving them our complete attention. Again, I'm not going to go back and revisit the cell phone situation. Bruce, if you viscerally react to the word amazing, if I see another cell phone in a one-on-one conversation, if somebody answers one more text or phone call while I'm talking to them, I'm going to lose my mind. So,
hey, Charles, hold on 1 minute, Charles. I'll be with you. Just hold on 1 minute. Hey, I heard everything you said.
Don't make me Hulk out over here, Bruce. I feel like I'm getting ready to Hulk out. So I'm gonna stay off that. But we want to be able to give the other person our full attention, our full and complete attention. Connect intellectually with them by asking questions. Come prepared to the conversation. If you know what the subject matter is about, have some questions ready to ask to be engaged. Don't just sit there and stare off into space, but come with some questions that you're prepared to ask to contribute to the conversations. And then the other side of that, think about the conversations that you're going to have one-on-one and begin to try to prepare some very thoughtful answers. You know, what could be some questions that the other person asked? Again, if you know the subject matter, what are some questions they could possibly ask? And so you might could prepare or at least think through some possible answers to some questions that might come up in the conversation. So intellectually, ask them questions. Connect emotionally with that person through touch. Now, look, you got to honor boundaries, all right? You can't go in there and be some creepy person. Honor boundaries and use common sense. But emotionally, the touch can be a great emotional connector as long as it's appropriate and done in good taste and is honoring of the other person. You know, if those kind of filters and safeguards are in place, then touch can be a very emotionally connecting force or tool, I guess, to use in a one-on-one conversation. Bruce, what about in a group setting or a group environment? How can we connect with folks?
Well, I would add, Charles, that I think the way you connect one-on-one with people will impact how you connect with people in a group, especially if it's a team that you're that you rely on, that you're supervising. You build strong relationships one-on-one with those team members, and that will enhance your communication when you're in front of them as a group. So definitely those three skills that you mentioned, connecting visually, giving attention, connecting intellectually by asking questions. I think one of the fallacies that people think about or people practice when they communicate is that what I'm saying is really important. What I'm teaching, the information I'm pouring out. Mm-hmm. Communication is not just telling. Communication is listening too. Communication is valuing the people that you're working with. So when you're connecting in a group, you want to connect visually by setting the example. And I think that's the presence that you bring, that you want to communicate with a sense of what I would say is enthusiasm. You're showing yourself fully present. And so set that example. Be alert. Be present in the room. If you want people listening to you to be present in the room, then you be present. You show up with the energy that meeting demands, that the effort needed following that meeting demands. People need to see that you have that presence about you, and you set the example by connecting visually with that. And so be up. Don't enter in on a down note. I think a lot of communication is preparation. Preparation before you ever walk in the room and open your notes, before you ever start scrolling through the list of the agenda on your iPad. I think connecting with people and preparing for communication is absolutely important when you're speaking with a group. Connect intellectually. I mean, not only know your material, but know how it impacts the people that you're working with. You want to invest in their growth, and so what you're talking about needs to be relevant. It needs to be not only intellectually thoughtful and demonstrate a sense of expertise, but it also needs to connect with them to say, this is how we're going to be better. That if we're engaged in this together, then we're all going to experience the benefit and the growth. And people need to see that. I think people need to connect to that personally. They need to know that, hey, what you're telling me, what you're sharing with me, what you're inviting me to think about, I think it's good to assume that the people that you're speaking to have a growth mindset. And so feed that growth mindset. Give them the material that's going to take them to the next level, that's going to elevate them, whether it's in leadership or their own personal life. Connect with them intellectually by investing in their growth. And then connect emotionally. Honor that group's effort. Bring encouragement to that group by recognizing you know their value. You know what they've accomplished. And be free, man, be free, freely open-handed and generous with your encouragement and your sense of honor. One of the things that raises, I think, elevates the cohesion of a team is when people recognize that their efforts are appreciated. And when you bring that into your connection, your communication with them, then you're going to connect with them in a very healthy and a very emotional way. Charles, what about the larger audience? What are your suggestions for that?
I think one of the greatest things we can do when we're trying to connect with a larger audience is a simple act of just smiling. There's something about a genuine and authentic smile that it opens up pathways of communication and connection with other people. And, in today's modern environment and venues, churches, most churches have some form of projection. So even people in in the rear of the auditorium, on a screen projected, can see that we're smiling. And there's just something inviting and welcoming about a smile that helps people enter into what we're into, our sphere of influence with what we're communicating and trying to connect with people about. So if nothing else, smile. Show the people that you're excited to be there through a smile, that you care for them through a smile, that you've prepared for this moment, and you're filled with joy to be able to present this message. Let there be a smile on your face. Another thing we can do that helps us connect with a larger audience is we can connect intellectually by pausing strategically. So, you know, we don't have to be rapid fire for the entire sermon. Build in some times that you can ask a question and stop. Let there be a moment of silence in there. And as you pause and let people reflect on the question that you've just asked. I know in our, at least in our American culture, people, we feel weird whenever there's silence. But man, I'm telling you, that's a great tool for intellectually connecting with someone is pausing strategically in the message. Third would be we can connect emotionally through expressions. Again, we talked about expanding our expressions. We can connect through laughter. We can connect through tears. I'm thinking about laughter. So, you know, they say, well, don't laugh at your own jokes, but why not? You know, if you say something that's funny, why not? Why not laugh like that? If something funny happens unexpectedly, why not be able to laugh at yourself? If you mess up a word or you say, you know, you can connect with people. Laughter is powerful. And we say tears as well. Tears are equally as powerful. Now, you know, you're not getting up there trying to turn on the waterworks to manipulate people. Again, we're being genuine. We're being authentic. We're being sincere. And in the moment, what, you know, in a solemn, somber moment, tears are a phenomenal way to connect with a larger audience.
Charles, those are really great insights, especially connecting with an audience. And I think that's sometimes the missing component, that there's not that emotional connection. And I think we sell ourselves short when we don't allow for that dynamic. Now that's not, we're never going to tell you, hey, here's the way to manipulate your audience. That we're not about manipulation. it's about connection. And, yeah. And we trust that as you're checking us out, that you authentically, honestly, and with integrity want to become a better leader. And so these are things that we're sharing for that end. But I will say, when you connect with your audience on an emotional level, you know, there's a delicate balance. You don't want to overdo it. I've heard a lot of people go to the extreme when they try to connect emotionally, where everyone's laughing the whole time, but nothing ever gets said.
Yeah.
The point gets lost because there's an overemphasis on emotion and tears. Let me say this. I've seen in the pulpit sometimes a pastor just working out his issues. You know, he's having a cathartic moment, and I think it's, we need to remember that audience that you're preaching to this week, that they're going to listen to other people too, and you want to protect the integrity of the pulpit. You want to even as a leader, you want to protect the integrity of that platform that you have, and respect your audience. And so absolutely connect with them emotionally in a very healthy and in a powerful way.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, I think we've had a great episode today. I think we've had an amazing episode today. Talking about connecting, going beyond words. And he's got jokes. Look at him on his phone. You're like all these pastors at the ministers conference. They, as soon as the session's over, they run out on their cell phones. Nobody's on the other end of the phone. Everybody's just out there looking at their phone, trying to be important. Yeah. I've enjoyed it. We had a great episode talking about how connecting can go beyond words. And so it's been good. I've learned a lot. I've kind of made some mental notes just for myself about how I can be a better communicator and be a better connector, because ultimately connecting is what we want to do. So any final thoughts before we sign off?
Well, as always, I just want to thank everyone for joining us on the Five Gifts podcast. We always appreciate that you're sharing. In fact, one of our joys is to see that a video has been shared. You'll see probably some of our reels with shorter clips of our messages, our podcast. They're popping up. Feel free to share those, especially if it's something that's meaningful to you. And maybe share in the comments why it's meaningful to you. We're here to help and empower the people that want to grow in leadership and elevate their leadership capability. So we are sincerely appreciative that you've shown up today, that you're following us online. It's very important that we hear back from you. Let us know how we're helping you. Now, as always, you can reach us at our websites. You can reach Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. You can reach me at coachingcardia.com. And I want to say this about what Charles and I do. We know some things. We're confident in our expertise, but more than that, I think if you need someone that can coach, someone that can listen, someone that can help you become a better leader, then you're looking in the right direction. If you look at Charles or myself, we are very invested in helping people become better at what they do, especially in leadership in the local church. And so check us out at our websites, and we will see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.